This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Here, I agree with Brad, certainly in this case, mostly because we don't have Steph Curry on the Warriors. We don't know how they're going to look without him. He is truly the engine of that team. It's going to be kind of interesting to see how they come out there with, you know, different primary ball handlers.
Oh, yeah, totally. I mean, I think the line is totally fair. I don't think it's like I don't know who is running to bet the Warriors right now. I mean, that's the interesting thing about it is, like, who would do that? Who would bet the Warriors? Like, what would be the, like?
Again, is it even smart for Jimmy to go out there and try to pull a Donovan Mitchell, score 48 when you got to get back to Golden State? You know, you really got to get to Game Six when it feels like Steph might be ready to go. He's not going to be ready to go if they're smart in Game Five, which is just would have been a week after he injured himself. And so my point is that if I'm Steve Kerr and this thing gets out of hand early because Minnesota's doing what you think they would do, which is respond.
Yep.
Then he did this last series. Then I'm sitting the guys. I'm saving Jimmy for later in the series for the two games in Golden State that are coming right up.
Yeah.
That's the better approach, and that's why I'm like you. It sounds like you guys. I think Brad's gonna be right here. Minnesota's going to win big.
Yeah, I mean, again,
because Golden State's going to be fine with it. We've already done the job, and we need to rest up, to be
That's
honest
exactly
with you, because
right.
it's as thin as ever.
Yes. Yep. I just don't know what the path is, honestly.
They showed us. They did it last series against Houston. Sat their guys in the third.
Yeah. They know how to play the long game.
Yeah, that's Steve Kerr. He knows what he's doing.
You're not. I mean, and I just think, like, yeah, like, you don't go in saying we're conceding the game.
What I'm saying is you can't.
But,
yeah, exactly.
I mean,
yeah.
You do have a mentality about it.
You can't have Jimmy Butler go out there and score 48 in a loss.
That's exactly
and
right.
Expend
and
everything he's got
minutes.
When you know you don't have Steph for the next at least few games, next couple of games.
Yeah, no, like,
can't
honestly, the way you manage it is, all right, our starter's in there for the first 8 minutes.
I'm playing a lot of dudes in this one.
Let's see how our starters hold up against theirs for the first 8 minutes, you know, and if we're down 12 by that point, you know,
Kuminga, get your tail out here. Let's see if you can have one of them throwback games.
It's Pat Spencer, it's game time. Yeah, get up here, buddy.
I'm just really not. Ooh. I'm not going balls to the wall to try to get this 2-0 because it's probably just not happening anyway. Even if you try, it's probably not happening. So it's just being smart about, you know, all right,
extending the series.
My best chances to win are probably not tonight.
Exactly.
And it's going to be, you know, Saturday back home.
Mm-hmm.
You know. I think the next one would be Monday.
Monday, yeah. It's every other day until Game Six.
You get
three days between five and
to
six.
To be honest, the strategy just needs to be keep this thing 2-2 when Steph has a chance to come back.
Yeah, win one over the next four.
Yeah, I mean that's really what you
not
have
get
to
swept
do.
Off the court before Steph can get back.
That's the goal. We'll see if they can do it. But Brad likes Timberwolves tonight -10.5. So I mean, it's an ugly one. This is the first one where I can honestly say, like, that's an ugly one.
Well, yeah, we're testing your faith in the you know, in the bit now.
+10.5, especially when you consider, like, the whoever wins is who covers. If the underdog covers, it means they won the game outright. If the favorite covers, it means, obviously, they won the game outright.
This has Minnesota blowout written all over it.
It does. But it's been a weird playoffs.
And Edwards going to respond, though. You and I both know that.
Yes.
He's made of that.
It is. It is going to be an Anthony Edwards response game.
I'd be surprised if he didn't.
That's going to be 7:30 on TNT. So there you go. All right, we'll come back. Raheem Palmer's going to join us. We'll talk to him about this and just what he makes of this number and the Warriors and these playoffs. I know he's been a little flustered by the wackiness of it. So we'll get into all that with him at 125 from The Ringer. Stick around. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Mother's Day is this Sunday, and you still got a little bit of time, right? You're not up against it quite yet. So if you have not gotten that gift idea, if you not got that beautiful, bright, big diamond for mom, you still got time. Get over to Robert Owen Jewelers to do it. Mother's Day sale going on where you're going to have the biggest, brightest selection of diamonds that the mom in your life is going to absolutely love. Get over there right now. Take advantage.
You can get her a To the Moon gift set. It includes a To the Moon and Back diamond pendant and 24-karat gold-dipped rose. She'll absolutely love it. It's only $199. They've got great deals. Whatever your budget is, you want to spend a little, you want to spend a lot on mom, Howie's got you covered both ways. You're going to love the way you pay because you got all the option, free financing, 12 months, 0% interest, or take up to 60 months to pay. You got to take care of mom. So get over and see Howie. Like I like to tell you, you're going to be smiling when you leave out. A lot of times, leaving those big box jewelry stores, you're not smiling. You bought that jewelry from someone else, and you spent a lot of money on it. You're going to get a great deal at Robert Irwin Jewelers. That's why you're going to want to make him your jeweler for life. He and his family have been doing this 40-plus years. They're experts. Bigger, brighter diamonds, better prices. Mother's Day sale going on right now. As John said, you've still got time to go see Howie. 5 locations, 3 locally, or online at rijewelers.com.
So what about the Daily Memphian? Chris Harrington has he's ranking the Grizzlies in the offseason player rankings, and he's sort of broken it up into parts here, so he's keeping us on the edge of our seat. But it's an interesting exercise in that, you know, some of this is obvious, right? Like Yuki Kawamura, okay. Lamar Stevens, okay. He wrote about Luke Kennard, who he has ranked 16th out of 18th.
He's behind Conchar.
Behind Conchar. He's behind Zion.
I found that interesting. He's behind Zion Poland.
Yes. He said, and this is what he wrote about that, Kennard is better than a few players above him on this list, but in the closing media session, he spoke like someone who knew he wouldn't be back, and I suspect he's right about that. Kennard shot 43% from three, above 40% for the fifth straight season, but his shooting faded after the All-Star break, and it was maddening to see him get up so few attempts in the heat of the playoff race into the postseason. He made multiple three-pointers in a game only once after March 25th and never in the play-in or the playoffs.
I got it. And he's concluded their importance to them because of where
right.
these guys are in their contract.
Right.
That's why Conchar, you know, who he still sees as a useful basketball player. I heard him say that with Jeff.
Yeah.
Is ahead of Kennard.
Exactly.
Kennard's out.
Yes.
So you're behind those guys that you
yes.
got under contract. Got it.
So he's got Kennard 16th. He's got Conchar 15th. And he says that the Jitty novelty has worn off, but late this season, particularly after the coaching change, he offered a reminder that he still can play. He remains a great rebounder for his size. He's an active defender who gets more than his share of deflection, steals, and blocks while keeping his foul rate low. He moves the ball, plays his role, and keeps his head in the game. He does offer this very interesting nugget. Since entering the NBA in 2019, Conchar has played 307 regular season games with a scoring average of 4.2 points. In that span, only one player has appeared in 300 games while averaging fewer than 5 points. So it's John Conchar and Matisse Thybulle. They own that distinction.
It's a select group.
You played 300-plus games since 2019, and you averaged less than 5 a game. Pretty amazing. I don't know how the hell Harrington found that stat, but he did. So, again, it does speak to the other thing
how
that
useful
Conchar brings. Well, he is... I don't know. He's not, but he's on a very effective contract. So cost effective contract. So you know,
6.2.
Yeah, I mean, okay. I mean,
we got two more seasons.
Aaron Nesmith's making 11.
I know. Well, let's get rid of a Conchar and something else and go get a Nesmith.
I wish
they'll actually help you against good teams.
I wish they could.
That's the one thing. Conchar is useful, especially when guys are down. Your rotation's been shortened, but I don't think he's playable against the better teams in this league.
Yeah.
And so that comes back down to the question, you just want to be okay in a playoff team, or are you trying to be something more than that? You know, if Conchar's having to be a integral part of your rotation, you're probably in trouble.
Yeah,
period.
Exactly. He says that he bottom lines it by saying Conchar's trade value is negative,
yeah,
which is why he's
stuck.
15th. He does have Zion Poulin at 14, which, I don't know, you know, what – I guess the idea of him more than anything, right? But, you know, I get that you're – if you're an NBA franchise, you have to have guys like Zion Poulin who, like, maybe you, like, hit a 50 million to one parlay and this guy turns out to be good, you know? But this guy ain't finna be nothing. He ain't finna amount to nothing with the Grizzlies, bro.
They're looking for role players that they can keep on a low salary.
Exactly.
To put around – either the big three or a new big three.
Yeah.
likely this big three. And so that's all they're doing, man.
Yeah.
Is trying to find those value guys.
Yeah, and that's,
like Chris says, we'll see at Summer League next year on him.
He'll be a two-way guy again, and, you know.
Can't keep pulling from down there because it's not getting you anywhere.
Yeah.
As much as, you know, obviously, Scotty's story's been great,
mm-hmm.
and I think he's fine as backup point guard. Others disagree. Want him on the ball. I mean, want him playing with Ja either way. Huff was a good story. You can't keep pulling from that. That is not going to get you over the hump.
Exactly. He's got Marvin Bagley. What we got here, 13th?
Yeah, he's interesting to me just in case, you know, cheap, maybe bring back guy, you know, just have, again, veteran, experienced, but are you going to get it consistently enough to where it's going to matter?
Yeah, he seems to think there's, it just sounds like reading into it, he thinks there's a decent chance that Bagley is back.
Mm-hmm.
The Grizzlies will have to renounce his rights to erase a large cap hold, but I don't know. I mean, I think he stinks. Every time he got into the game in the playoffs, he got absolutely exposed.
There was that one he tried to do too much after having a decent game the game before.
Yeah, I mean, that was like that was just whatever. Nobody even cared at that point, right? So I'm ambivalent completely. They could sign him. They could let him walk. He's not going to play even if he does. You know, he's a like emergency big man, right? Like, but he's worse than Jay Huff. And that's why Jay Huff is 12 on Harrington's list. And he's right that Huff is definitely feast or famine. It feels like he either really, really impacts the game and he's like on a roll, or like he just doesn't do anything. But, you know, he could be a valuable piece. He's 27. He's only making $2.4 million. He's got two seasons left. One of them's a team option. So, you know, it is a manageable contract. It's probably a tradable contract.
He's not good for defense. He certainly didn't help anything there. And as Harrington said, you could move on from him to either free up cap space or try to – get your defense back right at the back end of that roster.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't help that. Great story and all, but I'm not sure he helps you get to the next level.
Well, I think that's kind of the question about Cam Spencer, because he's got Cam Spencer 11th on this list.
What's interesting is 11th and one spot behind G.G. Jackson, a man who
that's right.
obviously many pinned you know, as a guy who's going to be doing great things eventually for the Grizzlies.
Well, Harrington drops in that he thinks Cam Spencer's going to be on the main roster next year. And honestly, the way that Zach Kleiman talked about that dude,
100%.
It sounds like
he put him on his dog's list.
Yeah.
Did y'all see Cam Spencer out there?
And like respectfully, you know, I would ask why we are doing that. Like, why are we guaranteeing a spot on the main roster for Cam Spencer? Like, what has he really shown? I mean, you could say he didn't get opportunity, but I mean, he's undersized. He's not athletic. You know, I get that his personality is great, and but come on, man. Like,
he's gritty, John. Zach wants to double down on gritty, and he's telling you that this is one of his dogs.
I'm not seeing it. If it didn't happen for Gigi, why would it happen for him? I mean, Gigi actually has the tools. Cam doesn't.
I don't know. I will say, every time he put up a three, it felt like it was going in.
Yeah,
the guy is pure. If you're not going to have Luke Kennard,
yeah,
then maybe he can come on as that. He's clearly going to get abused defensively.
Yep.
Most nights, but he's got a feistiness to him. We saw it against KD that can help you at least. And guys get behind, and so I for to be 11th feels high, but they like him. And clearly, Kleiman's all about, man. He's looking for validation, man. All these young guys he still believes in. He told you that when he included him with the list of rotation guys. So he's going to push this and see.
Yeah.
To this kid's credit, he's been good everywhere he's been.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he beats the stereotype.
Yeah.
Unathletic white boy that can't play in this league. I mean, he's done it at every level just about.
Yeah.
Because he's a winner.
I'm not totally – I mean, I don't really see it. But
if you're losing Luke
– right.
And this guy literally, he shoot 44% from three last year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you have some shooting on the roster. We think Bane's still going to be with this team. You know, going to need some shooting. He's done that at every level.
Yeah. And then he has G.G. Jackson 10th, where like a year ago he might have been 5.
Well, his kind of fall is one of the stories now. But I think we could probably say, and I think Harrington has, how much of that you have to pin to Taylor Jenkins, what happened there. G.G. was disappointed, comes back from injury. Injury, unlike with Vince, injury wasn't affecting him. He wasn't ready to play mentally. Send him down to the G League. He's in Taylor's doghouse, you know, probably taking it personal. And so – there was a setback this year. Shouldn't be unexpected because maturity issues were always the thing with a guy that young.
Mm-hmm.
And no, he didn't take the step forward everybody wanted to be a as we said, integral part of the rotation. But I'm not sure he will be. He's gonna have to grow.
He is
mentally as a professional.
Yep.
Isolo, you would think, is gonna be a guy if he shoots him straight can pull that out of him. But right now, yeah, you can't bank on him being a part of the rotation. No, a lot of people's hopes are still high for him. Those that had this, you know, we saw him do Kobe things as a rookie.
Yep.
But I'm not banking on it.
The further away we get from that, the more it feels like it was just a product of, like, somebody has to score on a horrible team like that.
Forget how we feel. I think where we should be is Zach Kleiman should not be not completing deals. He should not be not completing deals because he doesn't want to include G.G. Jackson.
Yeah.
If they're good deals for the Grizzlies, you have to do it.
Yeah.
It's not a point where we have that much faith in him still.
I don't think
and
they
he's some untouchable asset because you love that he's still young.
I think they would certainly
send you
him out.
You throw him in now. Yeah. So if it's held anything up, don't let it hold anything up now.
No, I don't think
anymore.
So. Harrington actually said it's not clear how much this season shook the franchise's faith in GG. But, you know.
Well, he didn't have him mentioned among his guys, did he? That wrote to, I mean, he had
no,
a list.
He did
and
not.
Sure, he's naming
he
guys.
Did not.
He could. But he didn't have GG on there.
Yeah, I mean,
so I think it rocked it a little bit.
Harrington goes through it. It's like he only shot 50% of the rim. He had more turnovers than assists.
Oh, I watched him dog it against Miami. I was there for that game.
He
wasn't going after loose balls. Taylor had to pull him. I mean, that's on Taylor.
This was a guy that was the number one player in America, right? When he was coming out of high school, and this is why it didn't work out because like his maturity, right? I mean, that was the big sort of question with him. It continues to be the question.
Right. He could still continue to rise out of it. But the issue is for those that thought that this was just going to be some straight line up.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
And out of all the question marks, no, that last year
exactly
left you with more probably.
Exactly right. So anyway, good stuff there from Harrington at the Daily Memphian. I believe we'll have the nine most valuable on the team. And I'm less interested in the rankings. He sort of drops in. You know, some insight into the franchise, right, in the organization, how they view these guys in the rankings, within the rankings. So that's the stuff that's really, really good. So be looking out for the next nine, I would assume, tomorrow from Harrington over the Daily Memphian. All right, we'll come back. Raheem Palmer's going to join us. We'll talk to him about the NBA, his thoughts on the Grizzlies, their future, the coach, Ja, all that and more on the other side. Jason and John, are you trying to FM ESPN? He is Raheem Palmer. Rostradamus, it's been a minute since we've got a chance to catch up with him here on the show, host at The Ringer, Spotify, FanDuel TV. He's our NBA guy. Always a pleasure to have him. He joins us now. Dream, what's up, man?
What's good, man? It's been a crazy second round at an NBA postseason. I never seen anything like this. It just feels like home teams can't win a game. Oklahoma City, they broke the streak last night, but this is insane.
This has been a hellacious playoff. There is no doubt about it. We finally did get a result that made sense with OKC against Denver. Finally, but yeah, we'll get to that. See, we'll sort of go through these. Let's talk about the games tonight, or at least the game tonight. We've talked about the you and I privately. I bet the Timberwolves series -150. When it was posted after the Warriors beat the Rockets. And it's amazing to me that I have more equity in that bet after a game one loss than I did before the game one even actually started. Do you think this line of -215, whatever it is, -210 of Timberwolves is correct? What do you make of this series?
I definitely think it's correct. I mean, I think when you look at the history of hamstring injuries, this is not just a one-week injury. They could say it's 1 week, but the way Steph Curry plays basketball, this is a guy who, they said he ran almost 2 miles in the last series against the Houston Rockets. This is a guy who's running off screens. This is a guy who never stops moving. And if Steph Curry, he can't rely on that, then I just don't know how he's even going to be in the lineup. Rather than play effectively. So I just have to assume that he's out for at least until game 5 or 6 at minimum. So I just think the Golden State Warriors are in a tough spot. I mean, we know that they don't have a lot of guys who can score the basketball. Now, I know Buddy Hield has been playing out of his mind like a third Splash Brother, but, that's not sustainable. You look at the Golden State Warriors with Steph Curry off the court in this regular season, they're only scoring 108 points per 100 possessions. With him on the court, they're about 120 per 100 possessions. In the postseason, 117 points per 100 possessions with him on, 97 points per 100 possessions with him off. So I just, at some point in time, the Minnesota Timberwolves, they're going to learn how to make open threes again. You know, they're 15 of 76, you know, so they've just been unable to just make open threes. And I think, you know, 38 of those were, you know, just wide open. And they typically hit those at a 40% clip. So I think, you know, if you got in early, you're in a good spot.
Yeah, I mean, I'm expecting, like, you know, what I'm hoping for is a blowout tonight by the Timberwolves. And then, like, if I get a wild hair or something and I want to, like, you know, hedge a little, which I don't think I will, but I probably obviously go to, like, plus 250, plus 300 or something, again, depending on how nasty it looks tonight for the Warriors. 10.5, that's basically what it was lined. The Nuggets and Thunder was lined last night. I know it's two different series, but does that feel correct without Steph, 10.5, and then that regression that you sort of expected from the Timberwolves?
Yeah, I think it definitely feels correct. I don't know if I want to bet into it.
Right.
You know, I think I would probably be looking first half at this point in time. I think we'll know pretty early if the Timberwolves have learned how to shoot again. I've never seen anything like this. I mean, like, I don't know how many times I've watched an NBA game where a home or NBA playoff series where a home team is rested. The other team is coming off of game 7. And a team misses their first 23. Like, I just can't make sense of that at all. And, you know, my biggest thing is that a lot of times you see that when a star player is out of the lineup, you kind of see, you know, guys rally behind him. You know, maybe that was the game one. But, I mean, maybe you could see that again here. 10.5 is a pretty big line.
The Pacers are -194 to win the series, but the Cavaliers are 2.5-point favorites on the road in game 3. What have you made of this series? And is this the one where the Cavaliers finally do what we think they're sort of supposed to do? It does feel like we've done a lot of dismissing of the good that Indiana's doing. Just where are you at on this one, and what do you think of the Cavs being the favorite here on the road?
So my model actually made this Cavs -2. Or so. So, you know, this opened up at Cavs -1. I actually think this is the right number.
Okay.
I think the Cavs are going to win this game. You know, in the first game, you know, Indiana, they shot lights out from 3. The Cavs couldn't make anything. They were like 9 for 38. Game 2, I think things stabilized. Obviously, you get a couple of defensive rebounds at the end. And you win that game. But, I mean, I think ultimately this is just a smash spot for Cleveland right here. You know, the way these road teams are winning, I think the trend continues here. And I just think – I don't know if Darius Garland or Evan Mobley or, you know, Hunter are back. So I don't necessarily want to play them to win the series, but I do think they win game 3.
Yeah, one thing that you're sort of noticing, Raheem, across the league is, like, Chris Finch said it, I think it was yesterday. Aaron Gordon said it last night. Like, these players and coaches complaining about fouls not being called. Like, Chris Finch was doing it, and then, Aaron Gordon did it last night. Like, I think that's loser stuff. I really do. Like, you're sitting there, you lose, and you complain that you weren't getting the foul. I feel like, you know, we saw in the first series with the Warriors and the Rockets, too, like, is that effective? Do you think, like, officials, like, hear that and see that and they're like, oh, okay, now we're going to call a different way, or is it just screaming into the void?
I think it is effective. I think it's one of those things to where, you know, sometimes you have these teams – I mean, you basically have these coaches lobbying, you know, because, I mean, these referees, they go back and look at film as well. You know, they go back and look at, you know, and they get orders from the league as well. So – if you have, you know, a coach or you have a star player complaining about fouls, you know, the league definitely takes a look at it. So I think, you know, it's always good to lobby your case and, you know, maybe even send some clips into the league. I'm pretty sure they do that as well. So, it seems like a kind of a punk move, but I understand it.
Ryan, I'm curious on your take of the Grizzlies. And assuming that you were in a place like we were at least a few years ago, a couple years ago, they're beating Minnesota in a first-round series, looking like sort of what, you know, what we're watching OKC do is maybe the next big thing. We're watching them grow up and everything, and that doesn't happen. We know for a number of reasons, Ja on the court, you know, injuries off the court, bad decisions. But it hadn't just been him. I mean, you had Brandon Clark go down, you know, in this playoffs, before this playoffs, and you had Jalen Wells out. You know, you have roster concerns. Just the bird's eye view from you of what's happened and how disappointing it's been to see sort of what's happened with the Grizzlies. You had them drop them from two to play-in status this year. Just what are you seeing?
I think ultimately it's been injuries the last couple of years. I mean, like, Brandon Clark is I mean, like, I don't know if he might be the most underrated player in the league, but I think if he doesn't get hurt, I think the Grizzlies are in a much different position. Now, I don't know, like, I truly don't understand why, you know, Taylor Jenkins was fired. I don't know if they're going to do better than him, but it just seems like this organization has to take a hard look at themselves. And even if they want to continue with the John Morant era, because, I mean, I love John Morant to death, and he is a star, but ultimately he can't stay healthy. And, I mean, I think that's been the case for much of his career. I mean, you go back even to 2022 when they were the 2 seed and they were taking on the Golden State Warriors. They hosted them. They lost game one, won game two. I mean, they got it to game six, but John Morant was out for game five. You know, when they beat the Warriors by 50 points or so, and they had the Warriors, you know, they had the Warriors on the ropes in game six. But ultimately, you know, without Ja Morant, there's a ceiling. So I think you got to kind of make a decision about what you're going to do with him. I don't see this organization getting rid of him because he's such a big star.
Right.
But,
right,
you know, when you have Ja Morant, Desmond Bane, and Jaren Jackson Jr., those three combined getting paid what they are, and you're in the position that you are now, it's clear one of those guys needs to go. I don't know which one it is, though.
Well, isn't it – you know, you mentioned the issues with Ja's health. But you're talking about, you know, the only way you can move off of Ja would be to trade him. I mean, wouldn't that be, you know, an impetus to doing that? Because other teams would have the same concerns. Like, we can't – how can we trade for Ja Morant knowing that he's not going to be healthy? And so his trade market is just completely tarnished. And so he's worth more to you as a player, and you just hope that he can stay healthy as opposed to trying to trade him for scraps, which – I mean, even Luka got back basically nothing in that trade when you think about the player that he was or is.
Yeah, I agree. And I think ultimately when you have a star as good as Ja Morant, and, you know, he's a guy who can sell tickets, you know, you could get rid of Ja Morant and you could be where Utah or the Wizards are, and you could be like that for quite a long time. So ultimately I think, you know, they may have to move off some of the other pieces. You know, Desmond Bane's, his contract's pretty big. I think you could say the same for Jaren Jackson Jr. I don't know if they want to run this thing back, but, you know, we are in a new collective bargaining agreement. And, you know, that second apron and all the stuff in the new CBA, you're going to see lots of changes. Like, you know, one of the underrated things that's not being talked about enough is that this is probably the last run for the Boston Celtics. So, you know, somebody's getting moved, whether it's Jrue Holiday, whether it's Chris Porzingis, whether it's Jaylen Brown. They can't afford to keep all of these guys together.
What do you do with that Philly team? Where do you start to fix that mess that it's become?
Jesus Christ. Like, are you asking me to walk on water right now? I mean, I think right now, I mean, they're in a position to where they almost – I don't know how you fix this. I think the biggest thing is that you kind of hope you get a high draft pick. Maybe you hit the Cooper Flagg sweepstakes.
Oh yeah,
and that would be the way out of this. You hit the Cooper Flagg sweepstakes, and then you could maybe you build around you know, the young guys. Jerry McCain should be back. Tyrese Maxey, nice. You know, and then you get, if you got a Cooper Flagg, then, you know, maybe you attach a draft pick to get off of a Paul George, and just kind of hope that Joel Embiid is healthy, or maybe he just, you know, he retires and you kind of get that insurance payout or whatever.
Wishing on a star, it sounds like, bro.
Yeah,
that's what that is. Like,
I mean,
you said,
that's what I'm saying. You asked me to walk on water.
Man, I feel great about the Grizz situation and listening to you on Philly.
I mean, the Grizz situation is rough, but the only good thing is that the Sixers, they could find, if they find themselves with a top five pick, because it is
that's true.
Protected.
If they jumped.
Yeah, I mean, if it falls out of the top five, Oklahoma City gets that pick.
Got you.
Let's just say they get that first pick. I mean, there's some hope. You know, there's, I mean, you still got a good young player in Tyrese Maxey. You still got Jerry McCain. I don't know if they're going to bring back Yabusele. I really love Yabusele, and I like Yabusele when he was playing with Real Madrid. You know, like, I love that guy. He's a tough guy. You get a chance, go on YouTube and watch him. Watch a clip of him suplexing Dante Exum when he was playing for Partizan. One of the craziest things ever. But I hope they can bring him back. I think I got to give – a lot of people are going to criticize Morey, but I think he made a lot of good moves around the margins. I just think ultimately I don't think he knew that Paul George was this washed. And I think the biggest mistake that he made was extending Joel Embiid. But I think that was on ownership.
Yeah, I mean, I know Paris, because I know you're a EuroLeague sicko. And you're like me, you really enjoy the overseas game, the FIBA game, maybe even prefer it to the NBA sometimes. But, you know, does Isolo's background at Paris basketball and in FIBA, does that give you hope for him as the Grizz coach? Is it relevant? Like, how do you interpret that part of his experience?
Yeah, I definitely think it gives you hope. And I mean, I think one of the good things about the Grizzlies this year is they had a really efficient offense. Very high pace, efficient. Now, obviously, I don't think Ja Morant was pretty happy with, you know, some of the things they were doing offensively. But when I look at Paris basketball this year, they had a guy over there named TJ Shorts. And, you know, he was in the running for MVP. And they had a high pace game. He controlled the ball. Like, if you get a chance, you'll watch some Paris basketball clips with TJ Shorts. You know, there's no reason John Morant can't replicate any of that. So, I think it gives you some hope. I think the offense is fine. They got to fix that defense, though.
Yeah. OKC is a team that feels like the market just wants to kind of fade, right? Like, all the sharp people that I see, like, they just don't want to – they don't want to believe that OKC can win the title. You know, they don't care about the second highest net rating of all time. Like, they just it just feels like they have been a popular fade in the market. And then last night happens. Do you think that's more accurately what not the 149 winning by a billion, but just the what they can do when everybody is playing well? Do you think that's who they really are for these playoffs, or do you think that was just sort of a one off and a have to have it moment?
I think that is what they can do. You know, if you look at game one, they were up for large parts of that game. So I think that is what they can do. And I've actually, you know, like, I mean, me and you know some of the same sharp guys, but I know some other sharp guys who are all over OKC futures at great numbers.
Mm.
So I think the one thing we got to take into account is that, you know, the sharp community is not a monolithic.
Right. Now you're right.
You know, there's a lot of sharp people who just, you know, think this OKC team is undervalued to win a title. I mean, even right now, I don't know if you've ever seen a team this good only plus 130 to win a title at this point.
Yeah, it was like when Duke beat whoever it was. They beat Alabama in the Elite Eight, and they were still plus money. They ended up losing, obviously, but it was like you're getting Duke and Cooper Flagg at plus money. Like, that seems crazy, and it wasn't plus money for long after that. But still, it's like, that's a bet you just kind of have to make, right? Like Oklahoma City's been killing folks. Like, you just kind of have to, especially with the way that some of these other teams are struggling. Like, who do you feel great about at this point, if not OKC? That would be my question. Minnesota's down. Cleveland's down. Boston is down, you know? I mean, to me, it'd be OKC or nothing.
It's definitely OKC, but I think there's value on the Indiana Pacers.
Mm. Okay.
They're 14-1. They're 14-1, up 2-0, going home.
Yeah.
And then the Boston Celtics have their injury issues. Like, you look at that series last year against the Boston Celtics, they were legitimately in that series. It was probably the closest sweep I've ever seen.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, it's hard to see that as a, you know, title team, but, man, whether they're playing, whether they're shooting, maybe they are. Maybe it's just gonna align for him. Hey, Raheem, man, this was great, dude. Appreciate the time, as always, brother.
No doubt, man. Thanks for having me on.
Yes, sir. He is Raheem Palmer from The Ringer. Says Pacers there at 14-1. Again, it's like, all right, the series, I'm with him. Like, I, you know, right. I, But am I going as far as to say that they're going to win the damn title? I mean, that seems like a lot. Because, like, they feel like a little bit like OKC. Everybody on the court can shoot. Mostly everybody on the court can defend in some way. You know, they're not super built on interior play. Mm-hmm. But OKC does it so much better than Indiana does. So that would be my hesitation.
And, I mean, OKC's got lockup guys on the you know, on the perimeter as well, whether it's Caruso or Dort.
Correct.
I mean, got bodies to throw at you out there.
I mean, it's kind of Nesmith just really
Halliburton's played good defense. He's not he's not a goon, though.
Yeah, no.
You know, defensively.
Okay.
Nesmith is, though.
What's a goon to Nesmith, a goblin?
I mean, goon in a great sense. In the
but it's just a lot to ask of one dude on an $11 million contract. That's all I'm saying. In Nesmith, you know. He's like, oh, he's our big
defensive guy. I mean, Miles is a good defensive player, but they're not some great defensive team.
Exactly. So, again, I get it.
OKC is.
I don't think I could get there with the title bet. All right. We'll come back, wrap this thing up here on a Thursday. Jason and John, are you trying to find ESPN? Smoke Slam. Coming to Memphis next weekend. Not this weekend, next weekend. And it's more than just a barbecue competition. It's something for the whole family. Bring the whole family down, man. You're going to have a blast. Got to have those samples, those endless samples. We do love barbecue in Memphis, don't we, Jason?
Got
to have the Ferris wheel, the fireworks, something for the whole entire family. Bring them on down. Smoke Slam 2025.
You might see a bunch of college basketball coaches down there eating barbecue, too, because, of course, you're going to have EYBL in town. It's a live recruiting period, so a ton of college basketball coaches going to be looking for something to do. Hey, if they're listening, get on down to Smoke Slam. Going to be a great time. You don't just have to have a 10 invite to eat the barbecue. No, everybody can eat the barbecue. It's for the whole family. Going to have a ton of great barbecue, ton of great music. And as John said, it's for the kiddies, too, with the big old Ferris wheel. They got fireworks every night. Should be a fun family time down on the river at Tom Lee Park. 3-day passes, single-day tickets. They're on sale right now. All you've got to do is go to smokeslam.com to cop them, to get them. Again, that's smokeslam.com. You can do VIP experience as well. They'll roll out the red carpet for you down there. You have a whole bunch of fun. This is next weekend, May 15th through 17th, down Tom Lee Park. Smoke Slam 2025. Get your tickets at smokeslam.com.
Yeah, should be fun, man. Looking forward to that again tonight. Just one NBA game on a Thursday night. It is just the Timberwolves taking on the Warriors. And, you know, look, Steph has played through you know, years where he doesn't have Draymond, where he doesn't have Klay. The Warriors have dealt with injury, but they've never really dealt with an injury to Steph Curry, where he's missed time like this, especially in a high leverage game. So it just feels like it's going to be tough for them. You know, I think this is one where, you know, they're not going to be able to figure it out. You go back home, you try to do something strategically. Kerr has been one of the best at that, but you know, I think it's a huge break for the Timberwolves, because in the first 5-10 minutes of that series, of that game, it felt like Steph was going to be able to get anything he wanted, and for that entirety of the series.
What does it say about this guy's conditioning that, as Raheem noted, as we have, his whole game is about running, runs 2 miles in a game, and he's never had a hammy.
Well, that's amazing. Really is. I mean, he's been pretty durable overall. Like, he doesn't really miss a lot of
time. Ankles early on in his career, which he got through and got over, and he's never had a hamstring injury. When he's like Reggie Miller out there. The guy never stops running.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably topped what Reggie Miller used to do, because it's constant. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, he got led, again, just so impressive, 37 years old. You led, you know, your team in points, rebounds, and assists last series against Houston. So it's not just an offensive game. It's constant.
Yep.
It's on both ends. And for this to be the first one of his career to deal with, ooh. Yeah, you better just be hopeful they can get him back.
Yeah.
And I don't like their chances even when they do.
I mean,
he's so dependent on those hamstrings.
Yeah.
His running game.
Last year he played 74 games in the regular season. This year he played 70 games in the regular season. And you're talking about a guy that's 37 years old. I mean, it's just remarkable, his durability.
But in great shape.
Yep.
So if there's anybody that can do this in a week or two, as Windhorst said, some of these grade ones, they can get back in a week or two. It's probably Steph, but it is his first time dealing with it. So I imagine this is brand new to him.
It is totally
in terms of how to come back from it.
Exactly, and that's why I think there's going to be, you know, that's why the market is kind of saying, like, it's not going to be as easy as him just getting back.
Yeah.
You know, because it is a first for him. It's going to do it for us today. Thanks to Raheem Palmer for joining us on the show. Thanks to Drew Hill, Jeffrey and Company up next. Don't miss it. For Jason, I'm John. We're gone.